Well, good morning, everyone. You may be seated. Thank you for that warm greeting, and God bless every one of you. It's always a joy to be here at Mission City Church, and as Mike said, the Hershey family and all of you are dear friends of ours, and we've known all of you, I don't know, it's almost 10 years now since we met the Hersheys, and Pastor Josh and all of you, and you guys got a great church here. We're so blessed to have you and represent Jesus in this community. And thank you for having me. My wife sends a greeting, and Mike told me I look better when she's around, and I have to agree. Would you not agree? I look a little better when she's with me, but she's at home ministering at our ministry today, but she sends her love and greetings to everyone. And you guys are so blessed around here. Did you know that? To have the Hershey family and the Hershey legacy, Pastor Josh and Keith and Heidi, the legacy of the gospel, the legacy of grace, the legacy of love. And so please pray and cherish the gifts that you have here in the house and all of you. And so thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come and minister today. Hey, I want to talk to you today. What God put on my heart to talk to you today. The title of my message is Joy in the Journey. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Did you know that we have a divine joy from God? The very moment that you and I got saved, God deposited something in your spirit being very powerful. First of all, he deposited the new birth. Can I have an amen to that? When you called on Jesus and you said, Jesus, I got nothing on my own. I'm a wretched, miserable sinner. I can't do this, and I need your help. And you said, Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior. I accept the fact that you died on the cross and rose again. I make you my Lord. Did you know at that very moment, the Bible says the new birth came on the inside of you, and you became a new creature in Christ. Somebody say amen. Thank God for that. And on the inside, you became brand new, washed, clean, pure forever. Now, we know the flesh has got issues, but your spirit man is beautifully clean today, pure and holy before God. And God put in you a new birth and a new spirit and put his Holy Spirit on the inside. And among other things, God deposited divine joy on the inside of you. Praise God. Divine joy on the inside of you. And so you and I, regardless of what may be going on in our life, we can have joy in the journey. And that's my message, title of my message today, Joy in the Journey, because I know that all of us are on a journey. We're trusting God for things. We're releasing our faith for certain things. Anybody believe in God around here besides me? Or you might be going through challenges and you have your prayers and you have scriptures you're standing on. And somebody might say, well, yeah, when I get my life together, when I get all my prayers answered, then I'll rejoice and then I'll have joy. You might be waiting a long time and before you get everything together. You need to have joy in the journey. Jesus has given us abundant life here and now. Come on, we need to be shining right now for those around us, for our community, that even if I'm going through some stuff, I have the joy of the Lord in my life. And we can enjoy that journey. And when we have victories along the way, of course, we rejoice in that. But we can have joy. I've got a scripture here I want to share with you from Psalms chapter 5 and verse number 11. We have it on the screen there. Notice it says, let all those what? Rejoice who put their trust in you. How many of you are trusting God today? Did you know that you are qualified? In fact, the scripture says that if you are trusting the Lord, you should be rejoicing in him. And by the way, the reason why we are trusting him is because we're probably going through something. But while you're going through something, did you know that rejoicing in the Lord is a powerful force in your life? And when you rejoice, divine joy just starts manufacturing from your spirit, and you just have a countenance of joy. And you can have joy in the journey even while you're going through things in your life. And he goes on to say, let those rejoice who put their trust in. Let them ever what? Shout for joy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Did you know if you don't have joy, you could shout for it? I know that might seem a little weird because you said many times we're going through things and rejoicing is the last thing we want to do. Anybody with me on that? And you just don't feel like it, and maybe you got discouraging news. But I've learned over the years that regardless of what's going on, good or bad, that every morning I'm going to have a time of joy and rejoicing with God. Every morning, I mean, this is just for me. Every morning I get on my knees and I lift up my hands to the Lord. And I say, I declare this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, and I just give you praise for your great love, for sending Jesus, for the power of the cross, Father. And I thank you that today's another day of victory, another day of joy, another day of your grace, your favor. Father, and I just rejoice in you. I tell you what, you're on a good course right now. When you start your day off like that, you are on a course to increase blessings and favor in your life. But the scripture says you can shout for it. Let them ever shout for joy. And sometimes you got to rejoice in faith. You just do it because it's the right thing to do. And notice, because the scripture says God defends you.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that beautiful? He's got your back, in other words. That's a good reason to rejoice, is it not? Let all those who love your name be joyful in you, the scripture says. And then drop down to the next verse. It says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous.
Thank you, Lord.
With favor you will surround him as with a shield.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, when I was young, just a young Christian and newly saved, I came across this scripture about let the righteous, the scripture says, you will bless the righteous. And I remember thinking as a young Christian, if I could just become righteous, anybody out there, and I could get blessed. And because I didn't know what I know now and a lot of the things. And I remember as a young Christian saying, oh, let me become righteous. And I somehow had it in my mind, like many Christians, that our righteousness is wrapped up in our what we do or our performance, whether we're good or not, whether we had a good day, you know. And so I'd be trying to become, because I want to get blessed.
Yeah.
You will bless the righteous. I'm saying, Lord, I want your blessing. Help me to become righteous. And I would try to mind all my P's and Q's and do everything right. And I'd be okay for a while. And ultimately, I'd mess up somewhere along the way. Anybody with me? I mean, have a bad thought, your tongue gets a little loose, or you're upset about something and you make a mistake and you fall. And I'd be like, oh, I have to become start all over and try to become righteous. What a joy it was the day I discovered that my righteousness had nothing to do with me.
Oh,
I mean, I'll tell you what, one day I found out that my righteousness is in Christ by the blood of Jesus, I become righteous. I tell you, that was a great day of rejoicing for me, because I recognized that my favor and the favor of the Lord and the blessing of God and His grace upon my life was not wrapped up in what I did. It was wrapped up in everything that Jesus did at the cross.
Mm.
Praise God. And so I recognize today, and I hope you recognize today, that if you're saved, you have every reason to rejoice. Regardless of stuff. We all got stuff. But you have every reason to rejoice. And if the only thing you can think of is, man, I'm saved and I'm righteous and I'm blessed, that's more than enough reason, come on, to rejoice in Him and to give Him praise. But I learned that we were in Christ. In fact, Romans chapter 5, I want to show you this, because some people might struggle with that thought. Romans chapter 5, do we have that scripture? Notice verse 17. The Apostle Paul writing, he says, there you go, For if by one man's offense, who's he talking about? Adam's offense, Adam's sin back in the garden, death reigned through the one. We know when Adam sinned, all of us became spiritually bankrupt before God.
Right.
Every single one of us. As soon as we were born, because of Adam's sin, which we had nothing to do with, yet we were in that land, we become spiritually bankrupt. We need a Savior. Much more those who what? Receive abundance of grace, notice, and the gift. Everybody say the gift. The gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. And when I saw that, I said, my Lord, my days of trying to become righteous are over. And I realized, and I tell people, I said, stop trying to become what you already are.
That's right.
That'd be like us saying this morning, I sure wish I could get down to that Mission City Church. Well, you're here. You don't have to try to get here.
Right.
You're already here.
Right.
Right? And so in Christ, you are already righteous. You have received a gift. I know some people are frustrated at maybe the Hershey's, and why are you always talking about grace and the grace of God? Because the scripture says it's only through abundance of grace that you're going to reign in life.
That's right.
If you're going to have victory in this life, you have to have an abundance of grace and the revelation that you have received the gift of righteousness. So did you know that every day when you wake up and every day when you put your head on the pillow, you can look up and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm in your favor right now because of the gift of righteousness and abundance of grace. I thank you. I don't have to qualify, earn, deserve. Grace means unearned favor, unmerited, undeserved favor. Someone say, I don't deserve it, Pastor. You qualify. Your disqualification is your qualification. That's good preaching right there. I don't know if you caught that, but in other words, you're all undeserving in and of yourself. That's what grace is for, the undeserving. Someone say, I don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. They're a candidate for God's grace and for the gift of righteousness. Notice the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace that brings us great joy is received. We just read it. Much more those who receive, not achieve, but receive. Too many times we're trying to achieve our favor with God, achieve our righteousness. No, God says those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Through one, reign over every test, reign over every trial, reign over every depression, every fear, every anxiety that comes upon you. You can say by the abundance of grace and the gift of knowledge, I reign and I've got the joy of the Lord in my life. The scripture says, sorrow not, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so if we're feeling a little weak and a little like our strength is being diminished, anytime, how do we get joy? You rejoice in the Lord. Notice that word rejoice. There's a prefix R-E in front of it. Re. What does that mean? That means you do it again, right? You re. If you go to your favorite, you know, fast food restaurant and you get your soda or whatever you get and you want to, and you become thirsty, you want to refill. That means you refill it. You get it again. Something's not right. You did the job and it's not right. You have to redo it. You do it again. So when God says to rejoice, you can't just say, I rejoiced last week, last month. You rejoice. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord what? Always. And so as you are rejoicing, divine joy and divine strength is being manufactured in your spirit. Just like a factory, ka-choo, ka-choo, divine joy and strength is coming in you and coming out of you. You know, you're manufacturing, saying you're pushing out a product, and the assembly line or the manufacturer just pushing that out. And every time you say, Lord, I rejoice, I trust in your love, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. You're my strength, my rock, my strong tower. I'm more than a conqueror. I've got the greater one living on the inside of me, and I just give you praise. I rejoice. Divine joy and strength is coming out of you. Being produced in your life. You got a supernatural energy source, if you will, power source on the inside of you. And every time you rejoice and every time you give him praise, divine joy just coming out of you. And with that joy comes divine strength in this life. Anybody ever need strength besides me? Yes, we have that. We're equipped with that. Then Hebrews chapter 10. If you're wondering if you still got something to rejoice about, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Quickly, notice it's talking about there, the writer of Hebrews is unveiling a beautiful truth about what Christ has done. For God's will was for us to be made holy by our own efforts? No. By the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. How long? Once for all time. Stop trying to become holy. Receive the fact that you are holy in Christ, and the fact that you're holy and righteous on the inside will start showing up on the outside. Right? People flip it around. They think if I become holy on the outside, maybe I'll be holy on the inside. My friend, I got news for you. The only way you become holy and righteous is through the blood of the Lamb on the inside, and then it'll show up on the outside. Right? So he says, once for all time, under the old covenant. How many of you are glad we're not under that covenant anymore? Thank God by his grace. We're under the new covenant of grace. But under the old, the priest stands, ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, mundane again, which can never take away sins. Bummer. And just they always had sin, consciousness of their sins and their failures under the old covenant, standing continually. Drop down the next verse, verse 12. But, everybody say but. But our high priest, which is Jesus, offered himself to God as a what? A single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. I tell you, that's something to rejoice about, right? To give him praise. Then he, Jesus, sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. Notice the priests in the old covenant, they're always standing, they're always working. When Jesus, in the power of the cross, he sat down and the work was finished. Your sins have forever been put away and you're forever forgiven and forever righteous and forever holy. That's something to rejoice about. Listen, God took from Adam, from the beginning of time, all of Adam's sin and everyone ever born, and Jesus at the cross, and he compressed time from Adam, all the sins of humanity, and then he looked into the eternal future to the last person ever born, and he compressed them all forever past, forever future, and compressed the sins of the world on Jesus at the cross. And on the cross, he took every curse and every sin until he finally cried out, "It is finished." And the sins of the world forever put away. Amen. To all those who say yes to Jesus. They receive that abundance. That's something to rejoice about, is it not? Because there's too many of us, you know, we don't feel good today. And if we don't feel good, and so we're down in the basement digging holes trying to see how low we can get. No, no, no. Come on. We got every reason to. I understand there's days of discouragement and that tries to get on us, but I want you to know today you've got a powerful resource on the inside of you by rejoicing in the Lord and joy being manufactured in your life. Amen. And that joy and that divine strength. I want to look at Psalms chapter 45 and verse number 7. Psalms 45 and verse 7. Notice this scripture. It says, "You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you." Be glad you're anointed. What are you anointed with? Pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. In other words, more than those who are not God's kids. More, all of God's kids, God says, you are anointed with the oil of joy on your life. We ought to be shining bright. Oil, if you know, oil is a picture or a type of the Holy Spirit, is it not? And so you've been smeared. There's an anointing, a smearing. God smeared joy and an anointing all over your life when you called on Jesus. Wow. And we can stir that up every time, and that joy by taking time to rejoice and praise Him. And I just enjoy it. I just don't give God praise and rejoice and take time in the morning. But all throughout the day, when I get a chance, if I'm driving, I'm just worshiping God or rejoicing and giving Him praise. Now, I keep my eyes open if I'm driving, right? And so you do the same. But even walking around the store or Walmart or something, you know, I'm rejoicing. Now, I'm not shouting in the halls of Walmart. Come on now, have some sense, right? But underneath my voice, I'm just, "Lord, I love you. I praise you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your love and your grace. And Lord, thank you for your good hand upon us, taking care of us." And so having that attitude of joy and rejoicing, divine strength is just coming in you on a regular basis. But it's an anointing of joy, oil of joy upon your life. You know, before I went into the ministry, I worked on a ranch and a farm and went to rodeos back in those days. And at those, anybody ever been to a rodeo besides me? And sometimes they'll have what they call an oiled pig or a greased pig. And it's a small pig. And they'll oil it up and grease it up. And then they'll let the pig run around. And all the kids try to catch the pig. Anybody seen that? I mean, it's hilarious. Those little kids trying to catch those pigs. And you see those little kids and the pig, you know, the pig squeaking and squalling. He's running. And about the time you think they finally got the pig, he squirms his way out. Because he's oiled up. They can't catch him. They grab his leg. They grab his ears. And he gets out of it because they can't grab him because he's got oil all over him. And in the same way, did you know that with the oil of joy and the oil of gladness on your life, every time the enemy or fear or depression tries to get upon you, it's got to just come off. Come on, fear cannot stay on you if you stay oiled up. Stay anointed up. How do you do that? You just rejoice. You give Him praise. You thank Him for His love, His grace, all that He's done for you. And depression, fear, anxiety just cannot stay on. Just slicks just comes right off of you. anointed with the oil of joy. I had a buddy back years ago, right after graduation of high school, and we drove around in his dad's car quite a bit. And one day, his dad's car was parked in front of the house, and we hopped in the car, taking off down to the store. We didn't know it, but his dad was in the process of changing the oil in the car. And he had drained the oil out of the oil pan. And he was going to the store to get oil. We didn't know it. My buddy gets in the car. The car miraculously started up, for one thing. Put it in drive, and we started driving down the road. We got just down to the end of the block. Pretty soon it stopped knocking and bang. What in the world? Clang, the motors. And then a little while later, that motor just seized up, froze up, and came to a halt. What's going on? Of course, we found out there's no oil in the car. How many of you know that's a problem? That's a problem. But you know what? And the friction. But did you know it's the same way in life? There's a lot of friction that can happen and a lot of moving parts. We need to stay oiled up. Because when you rejoice and you give God praise and you're magnifying Him and you have the oil of gladness upon your life, all the friction that tries to happen in our families or our marriage or the friction of life and all the moving parts, it just makes things so much more smoother when you got the oil of gladness moving. It won't seize up. It's not going to be banging and clanging. Things are so much smoother when we stay oiled up, if you will, with the oil of joy and the oil of gladness in our life. Amen. And we do that by taking time just to rejoice. You're doing it right now being in church. You know, y'all being oiled up today. Amen. You had a beautiful time of worship. You're hearing the word. It's coming into you. Faith and life, and you're being the oil of joy and gladness in the Spirit of God. It's oiling you up. Ready for the week, right? And so we have this great privilege to rejoice and have that joy of the Lord in our life. You got time for another scripture or two? We got a few more minutes. I want to look at Psalms 118. Psalm 118, a very, very powerful scripture. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents or the dwellings or the houses of the righteous. That's all of us, is it not? Is the voice of joy and rejoicing in your house and great salvation? Oh, I hope it is, because as you go about your house and your family, we ought to be talking of the goodness of God, giving Him praise and rejoicing on a regular basis. And because if it is, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly in your house. Now, apparently God's right-handed. Sorry about all you left-handed folks out there. And I mean, He's okay. But apparently the right hand of the Lord, very powerful. Right? And it's interesting because the right hand, who is actually seated at the right hand of God right now? We know Jesus. He's seated. The work is finished. He finished the work of the cross. There's no more work has to be done. He did it all for us. We're just in receptive mode. And He's seated. And the scripture says we are seated with Him in Christ in heavenly places. Wow. So not only is Jesus seated at the right hand, but we are seated with Him, and the right hand of God, the finished work of the cross, does valiantly in our life. That's why joy and rejoicing is the voice that should be heard in our lives, in our homes, in our families. Because when we have that spirit of joy and rejoicing and praise, God's right hand is moving valiantly. I mean, how many of you like the right hand of God to take a hit on the enemy? I mean, just give a knockout blow on that situation, that whatever it is you might be dealing with. And so, by rejoicing in Him. Now, the scripture goes on to say there, drop down to the next portion of the scripture, because Psalm 118 is a prophetic psalm. It's a prophetic psalm about Jesus Christ. Do we have that next verse? Let's see, Psalm 15, verse 22. I don't know, guys. Here we go. Thank you. Notice this verse, and you may recognize it in the New Testament. This is the same chapter. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Who are they talking about there? Jesus. That's a prophetic scripture of Jesus' fulfillment. And so Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And when that is fulfilled, the voice of joy and rejoicing is in our house. We're blessed. It's talking about our day, the day we are living in today. We are blessed with that. And then drop down to the next verse. Notice it says, this was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. God did all of it. Did you know you and I weren't even around when the when Jesus went to the cross? He didn't need our help. He didn't need us to finish it up or to complete something. He did everything. And it's marvelous in our sight. We're so grateful. Thank God. Every reason. No wonder we have every reason to rejoice. And then I believe one more verse. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we use this scripture, and rightly so, that every day, this 24-hour period, this day, today, June 23rd, 2019, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it, and that's beautiful. We should do that. But did you know it's actually talking about the day of our Lord Jesus Christ when the grace of God and Jesus' full manifestation of the cross was complete? It's talking about the dispensation of grace that we live in today. This is the day, this is the hour, this is the time that we are living in. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Good word.
I tell you, that is so powerful. I'm so glad I was born in the days of the new covenant. How about you? God so blessed us that we're born living under a covenant of grace, a day of great rejoicing that the work has been finished. And I want to close with just a few thoughts, because I know some people here today, or some maybe watching on Facebook, their lives seem like it's a mess, and they're wondering if God can help them and if God can restore things in their life. I want to close with a scripture from Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 20. Very powerful truth. It says, "A bruised reed he," that is Jesus, "will not break." Notice, "and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory." What's the Lord saying to us? He might say your life might be bruised up. You feel like all that can happen next is be broken. This has happened and that happened. Or smoldering wick. In other words, a wick is what a candle is. You light a candle. And when you blow out a candle, or the candle's light fire is blown out, what happens after that? There's just a little smoldering on that wick, right? That candle wick. And it's almost out. It's smoldering. There's no more life. And God says, I don't care if the light in your life has been blown out and all you're doing, you're just smoldering. You're barely hanging on. Jesus will not snuff you out. He will give you life. I don't care how bruised up you are. Jesus will say, it's not too late. You will not be broken. He will heal and restore you spirit, soul, and body. And if you're a smoldering wick, you feel like everything has come against you, your life is in a downturn, he says he will give you life again and lift you up. I a few months ago, I went into my local bank because I told the teller, his name was Adrian. I said, "Adrian, I need a favor. I'm going to do a sermon illustration, and I need two $100 bills. I'm going to withdraw from my account." He said, "Okay." And I said, "Listen, the first $100 bill, I need the brightest, shiniest, new style, one just right off the press. I mean, just as clean, bright, and crisp as you can find." He said, "All right." And he looked around in his drawer. He brought a couple up. And he says, "How about these?" I said, "Boy, that one looks good. It looks brand new." I said, "I'll take that one." And I said, "And I need one more $100 bill." I said, "This one of the old style bill. And I need this one to be tattered. I need one of the rejects, tattered, torn, beat up, dirt up, greased up. The worst one you got." He said, I just got what you're looking for." He pulled a bill of rejects, and he found this $100 bill. It was beat up, I mean torn, tattered, and had tape on it. Actually had a grease spot on it. And it was stuck to the other bills, and he pulled it out and it was falling apart. And he says, "How's this?" I said, "That's just what I'm looking for. I'll take that one." And he said, "If you don't mind me asking, what kind of illustration are you using with these two $100 bills?" And I said, "Thank you for asking, Adrian." And I said, "The $100 bill that's crisp and clean and pure, looks good." And I said, "It's brand new. There's no blemish in it." And I said, "The other one's beat up, torn, tattered. I mean, oiled up. Looks like not worth much." And I said, "Which one's worth more?" And he said, "They both have the same value. They both can purchase the same thing." And I said, "That's exactly right." And I told him, I said, "That's how God looks at every one of us. I don't care if we've been beaten up, whipped, torn, we've messed up, we've sinned, we've failed, our lives are a mess, we got grease spots on us, we're taped up, we're barely holding on. Did you know you are the same value to God as someone who's, come on, seemingly got it all together? Come on, let's give Jesus praise right now. Let's thank Him right now. Amen. Thank you. Because some of you, I'm too far gone and my life is broken and bruised and I got nothing and I've failed so many times and I'm at my wit's end and I got grease spots on me. And Jesus says, you are just as valuable to me as someone who's been saved and washed and cleaned up. By the way, the only way you can become like a crisp $100 bill is through the blood of Jesus. That's it. That's it. But so rather we're a smoldering wick or a bruised reed and we feel beat up, God says, I love you. I sent Jesus. I don't care how bad it looks. If you'll but call upon Him, come on, you can be saved. You can call upon Him. I'm going to finish with one quick story. My grandson, Gannon, he's 6 years old now, but when he was 2 years old, we have a two-story home. When he was 2 years old, he was just learning how to walk, and he was wobbling around, how those little toddlers. But anyways, he went up the stairs. He crawled up the stairs of our two-story home, so I followed him up. And when he got to the top, he kind of looked back down, and he looked down at that long flight of stairs. He was kind of hesitant to go down. But I was at the top, and he reached up his hand, and I took his hand, and I grabbed his little hand and my big hand. And so then he boldly started walking down those steps and made it all the way down. And when that happened, the Lord just ministered this to me in my spirit, a beautiful, what I believe is an illustration. Because Gannon knew that regardless of if his hand slipped a little bit, how many of you know my hand is not slipping on that boy? That boy will not go down because my hand is in his hand. And the Lord ministered to me that our hand, our reaching out to God is God is the grip, our grip of faith on God when we reach out to God. But God's hand upon our hand is the grip of grace upon our life. We reach out with a hand of faith to God, and God reaches down with a hand grip of grace. And let me tell you something, His grip is greater than our grip. And you might stumble like my little grandson, you know, and a little nervous and not sure if you can hold on, but I want you to know my hand would never let that boy go down. I got him. And in the same way, the grip of grace has got every one of your lives today. He's got you. Even if you feel a little weak and a little staggering, your faith is not thus and so. God's grip of grace is greater than your grip of faith. And if you trust in Him, come on, He'll lead you in that journey and He'll bring you out with joy and rejoicing and bring victory in every area of your life. Do you receive the word of God today? I pray you do. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for these beautiful truths of your love and of your grace and of your great joy. And may every one of us, Father, realize that our life is a journey. And in our journey, we rejoice and we give you praise throughout that journey. You bring us victory after victory. Strengthen the brethren today. Strengthen the brothers and sisters in Christ today with the joy of the Lord and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say, if there's anyone here in the house today, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You've never called upon Him and received that wonderful love and grace and the power of the cross to say, Lord, you're my Savior. Forgive my sins. Come into my life. And if you're watching online today and you say, today's my day, I need to call upon Jesus, I want all of you here in the house with your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment. And you say to me, Pastor Fred, I need Jesus to be my Lord. Or I want to rededicate my heart and my life. Is there anybody with an uplifted hand? Real quickly, would you say, pray for me? I see your hand over there, my friend. Thank you. Anyone else with an up? Include me in that prayer. I want to call upon Jesus today. I see a couple more hands over here on this side. One last time, I'm going to look. Thank you. Let's pray this prayer. You online, you pray it as well. Say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. Thank you for saving me now. Thank you for restoring me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give a round of applause to those who called on Jesus today? Isn't that awesome? Nothing's more powerful than making that decision. Thank you for those of you that called on the name of the Lord.